When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Cornhole.
Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Let's do it.
Baby.
Baby.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
I love that background.
Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, I don't mean yours.
I know.
Okay.
How's your voice?
It's wonderful. How's it sound?
I mean, for a second, it sounded like the old days, like shitty, but for now you're back. You're good.
Hey, that kind of thing.
Greg, has Chris ever told you my theory on your voice? Yeah, my theory. Has anyone ever told you or have you ever heard or read about the milk in the throat?
No.
Oh, yes. Dad, I have told you. No. Dad, I did tell you about this. I told you that Alex told me that he had a friend that cut milk out and it, like, he was having your similar coughs. I did tell you that.
He was a radio. He was like a podcaster, and especially like in the mornings, like his throat would just be terrible. And I think a doctor, somebody, and he was, because you're a big coffee drinker, right?
Yes.
Do you drink cream? Do you put cream in our milk? Oh, yeah.
He has a lot of cream with some coffee in it, basically.
I'm a big coffee drinker who uses a lot of cream.
Yeah, and that's what this guy, he was the same way. And the doctor was like, yo, it's the cream. He's like, he goes, especially creamer. He's like, but also milk. He's like, he goes, it gets caught in your throat and it becomes like really like thick and stuff. And he goes, and it takes a while for it, you know, throughout the day, and it'll go away. He's like, but coffee is what makes your throat like that. And the guy stopped putting creamer and milk or as much in his coffee. And like, to this day, he's always like, it's milk inside the coffee that makes your throat all f***ed up.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
maybe, maybe
it sort of makes sense, but I find it hard to believe.
And now, but now my dad's like, he's like, I've seen a little progress without cutting out milk, so I'm good.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm using extra milk just to extra heavy milk. I'm using buttermilk now because that's the thickest form of milk.
Yeah, it's just sticks of butter in.
Yes, it's barely liquid buttermilk. I'm putting sticks of butter down my throat right now, even as we speak, as we're doing this podcast. Giant thicks of sticks of cold butter.
What podcast is this, by the way?
Okay. Hey, it's the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody and Chris Cody, and the great Alex Benson is joining us here.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah he is an FOP. An FOP. Alex, tell people about your podcast. Maybe they'll...
The early show plug.
Well, yeah, we got the Shut the Funk Up podcast. We're having fun over there. It's a music-based podcast. We talk about some of the goings-ons, in pop culture and the news and stuff. But for the most part, we keep it musical over there, and we have a lot of fun doing it.
I want to have an on-air show meeting right now. I feel like we were having a nice, free-flowing conversation, and my dad made it weird by asking you to plug the pod.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that could have gone a little bit later. Like, we were flowing, talking about milk in the throat and, like, transitioning into the pod. And my dad just like took my pass and then just farted on the pass. That's what he did.
I took your pass and I fumbled it.
Hey, Alex, tell us about your pod.
And so there's no mistaking it. Alex described his podcast as Shut the Funk.
Yes.
F-U-N-K.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
that's
yes,
not
yes, yes.
what it sounded like when you said it.
Because that would have been a bad word.
It would have been a bad word. Hey, this is an exciting podcast. I'm actually looking forward to a conversation we're going to have about our big weekend, our big shared family holiday weekend, which revives an old tradition. But before we get started, and also, Christopher and I had our latest installment in the father-son Cody Olympics.
Wow. You can hear the people like excited in their cars right now.
Oh, my God.
Like, whoa.
I mean, we played cornhole.
Cornhole? Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
We played cornhole. And I don't want to give anything away except to say it was our closest, most exciting event yet.
It's as exciting as cornhole can be.
It really can. It really is.
Have you ever played cornhole, Greg? Is that your first time?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a veteran.
That's the thing. That's the whole bit behind this is that my dad played like once a month ago and thinks he's a professional, and he doesn't realize that your boys played like dozens and dozens of matches. So,
okay.
All right. So you better have won then.
I've played many, many times. Christopher made fun of my throwing style, which apparently is unorthodox.
Well, all the good. I mean, we're kind of redoing. We're redundant here because we talk about all this when we get to the segment. But my dad, Alex, you know this. You've played cornhole. You throw it frisbee style. It's what you do.
I was just about to say, tell me he does not do.
Dude, he does end over end. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then when I tell him he's doing something wrong, he like doubles throat. God, he doubles down.
Why do you do it like that?
It comes naturally. I enjoy it. I grab it by the tip of the bag.
Hell yeah. you grab it by the tip and put it in the cornhole.
That's right.
Just the tip.
Oh, boy. But anyway, so that's extremely exciting. And you want to talk about doubling down on the excitement. We have a brand new Mount Gregmore as well.
Wow.
A holiday-themed Mount Gregmore to bring you.
All those podcasts that were excited are now not excited.
No. They believe me, they should be. And they will be. Did you guys hear about the big controversy regarding Elmo from Sesame Street?
I knew it. God, my dad has so many tells. Just the way he started that sentence, I was like, this is going to be something ridiculous.
I'm all ears. I have no idea.
Okay. This is not ridiculous. It's serious. Okay. Elmo went on Twitter, did a PSA, basically.
Which is a funny visual.
He did a PSA promoting vaccines for the 5 and younger set, you know, the Sesame Street watchers. And as if he were 5 or younger, Elmo was almost 40 years old. So this is like a grown-ass man telling 5-year-olds to get a vaccine. But, well, you know, but that's not the controversy.
I mean, wouldn't we rather have a 40-year-old Elmo than a 5-year-old Elmo telling us?
Yeah, but Elmo sounds like he's 5.
Right. He's got, maybe he has, like, yeah. Who's that guy that the guy from Barstool just interviewed? The guy from, like, Russia that looks like a kid even though he's an adult?
Oh, yeah, Haslan?
Yes, that guy. I can't think of his name right now. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah, what if Elmo's just one of those guys?
He could be. I don't know who that Russian is that you referred to, by the way.
He's adorable.
Yeah, he's just got some, I don't even know if he's Russian. He's something. He's something.
Okay, so Elmo's 38 years old, telling a bunch of toddlers to go get vaccinated. And that's fine, because I support that. But Ted Cruz, of course, the Texas politician.
Oh, you just rolled the shit out of your eyes.
I mean, Ted Cruz is now at war with Elmo.
No.
No, he is. Ted Cruz is blasting Elmo for, quote unquote, aggressively pushing vaccines on the youngest, most vulnerable kids without scientific proof, without promoting, offering scientific evidence. And I'm so tired of Ted Cruz. You know, it's
more like Ted Lose.
That's exactly right. Well put.
Wow. Thank you.
More like Ted Lose.
I mean, Sesame Street, you know, that's no like walk in the park. That street is real. Yeah. So he better watch it when he's coming down Sesame Street.
It's more of like an alley than a park.
Yeah.
I love the Sesame Street characters because they all look like they're wearing carpets. I can never keep track.
They all look like they have a hand up their ass.
They do. Now you say they do all look like they're wearing 70s shag rugs.
They really do. Is Elmo blue or red? I can never keep track.
Red.
The Cookie Monster's blue. Yeah. The Cookie Monster's blue.
All right, I mix up. I haven't watched Sesame Street.
That was like the dumbest thing you've ever asked.
What? So Elmo's red.
Everybody knows Elmo's red, yeah.
I don't think so. I think I'm in the majority.
All right, just move on.
I knew the cookie was blue, but I thought maybe there were more than a couple of characters
How many Sesame Street characters can you name? You got 3 in you, right? 3 or 4?
Yeah, the bird, Big Bird.
The bird.
Okay, Big Bird, Elmo, and the Cookie Monster are the only 3 that matter.
That's it. Yeah, I'm with you.
I got one more.
Yeah.
Isn't there a Snuffleupagus?
Snuffleupagus?
Isn't that the big elephant? Right? An elephant's name, Snuffleupagus, right. I think.
That's true.
Bert and Ernie.
Are they Sesame Street?
Yes, 1,000%.
Go off, King. Keep going.
You gotta look at me.
Wow.
Oscar the Grouch.
Go.
And I'm really not. This is like I'm trying to think.
I'm impressed.
I am too. That's all I got. I wish I Googled it so I could rattle off more, but I think that's all I got. Let me Google it. Like, what else are we missing?
By the way, this is a true fact regarding Sesame Street. And when you mentioned a couple of those characters, it made me think of it. You all know the classic Christmas holiday movie, It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
If you can picture this.
Kermit the Frog is Sesame Street?
No. Go ahead. Oh, he is?
I mean, he's on this list, but I mean, maybe he originally was and he outgrew it and he left the show. I don't know. But like, just move on. I'm sorry.
Big names. Anyway,
we also forgot about Grover and Count Von Count. The guy that's like, Von Two.
Oh, God.
You know, anyways. Okay. On.
Yeah. Two of the characters in It's
Also, I just wanted to keep interrupting you. Go ahead. You can start.
Two of the characters in It's a Wonderful Life are intentionally named Bert and Ernie. They're the two cops.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But that movie was made prior to Sesame Street, obviously. So the thinking is that Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street are named after the characters in It's a Wonderful Life as an homage to that wonderful, all-time great movie.
Were those characters in that movie gay?
Yeah, that was my question.
I believe they were.
Because I believe, I don't know why.
I believe they were. I only knew them casually.
Bert and Ernie are gay, sure. Aren't they? So that's
Yeah, I think that came out.
Did they come out?
I think, yeah.
I thought you said, I think that came out, and I thought you were doing wordplay, and I was about to give you a point like that boy.
No.
You just backed up into that one? What's Greg doing? Did he freeze?
No, I...
I think he was looking up more Sesame Street characters.
You know what? You named so many Sesame Street characters that were big names. I was thinking the three I named were the only big names.
Right.
But it's full of big names, that TV series.
Yeah.
I want to get to...
I got to get to the bottom of Kermit the Frog and whether he was part of Sesame Street.
I think he went back and forth. I think he, like Jim Henson and Sesame, I think he was like a transitional...
He's definitely... I see clips here of him like on sitting on the street sign. Like he's for sure. Like I think
he was an original.
He's an original who outgrew it and he just became his own thing.
So he broke off and became what?
He's like Justin Timberlake and Sesame Street is NSYNC.
Perfectly put.
Okay, but how do you see Kermit the Frog now? Like if you want... content,
you gotta go to Hollywood Studios or like you know those Disney sing-along things. He'll pop up on those at the end of the year, like the holidays.
I have Kermit the Frog floating down I believe a river on a rowboat singing someday you'll find the rainbow connection.
Well, is that your Kermit the Frog?
It's bad.
It's like it's he has a bad cold. He's a little nasally.
Yeah, you gotta like hold the throne, Alan.
Kermit the Frog here.
Oh
yeah.
I mean, your boy can just do impressions. I didn't want to like, you know, be that guy that's like, all right, let me go now. But you know,
I'm embarrassed.
No, that is Kermit that was really
it's really
good.
All I have though. It's very all my like I'm good at doing impressions, but it's like I find my sweet spot. Like I can do Elvis. I'm like, look out now. But like, it's just like it's just like one Johnny phrase Bravo. I can do. Yeah, it's more like Jack White in Dewey Cox, but Kermit the Frog here.
My Elvis impression consists of three words.
I thought you were about to like do some drugs.
Make that four words. Want to say one thing. That's my Elvis.
It sounded like one word.
Want to say one thing. Yeah, it's like that kind of thing. You know, you make four words into one word. I'm desperate to start talking about our weekend.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, but first...
Dad, I want to bring it up. What? I want to... Oh, no. Oh, you're going somewhere else first? Go ahead.
I want to get to Mount Greg more.
You know what? Let's save that for the end, because you're supposed to... I've read the way you're supposed to do podcasts. You're supposed to put all your best stuff at the very end.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, like the cleanup dinner.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about this. I was made happy yesterday and also a little frustrated because Alex called me and he's like, dude, I just got off the phone with your dad. And all right, let me just fill the audience in real quick before I get into that. We're going to the beach this weekend. We're doing a throwback to when me and Alex were in our, what dad's age? Five to like...
I would say five to high school.
Yeah.
Five through high school. We used to go every 4th of July. We'd go to the beach and we'd get a hotel room for the weekend with a bunch of families. My dad and Alex's dad would sleep on the beach and watch our stuff overnight. It was a family tradition. We did it every year. It was so much fun. It went away after high school because obviously life happened. And we're bringing it back now. Me and Alex have taken the reins. We are bringing our families out there. Our parents are coming, but they don't have to do the work anymore. They can just enjoy it. We're inviting friends. We are just bringing it back. It's a celebration. So that's where we are. So we're in the planning of it. We're leading up to it because obviously you're hearing this on the 4th, but we did the leading up to it, this podcast this past week. And my dad, I was made so happy yesterday when I talked to Alex days leading up to this event. And he's like, dude, your dad is so excited about the 4th and it makes me so happy. Like Alex was made overjoyed by just the conversation he had with my dad. And then I was happy by that, but also a little frustrated that I hadn't gotten the same energy from my dad in the conversations leading up. It was more like, what do you need from me? What time? Half cup? Well, and it was more of like a struggle. And Alex had this like joyous conversation with him. And I'm just wondering where the disconnect was.
All right. Everything in life is a matter of timing. Okay. When Alex happened to call me.
Were you like 7 Miller Lights deep?
Yeah, we were a few deep. We were out to dinner. We were at a nice restaurant that just opened here, our first time there.
Not you and Alex, you and mom.
Yeah, right. Okay. Right. Your mother and I. And Alex called and he caught me at a good time, and I am excited. I can't wait to do all this cooking, and I'm bringing three things, and I'm excited about all three elements I'm bringing, and I'm excited for it happening again. I think we started it in the very early 90s. I think it ran for like basically 15 years.
Yeah.
And then I think it went away for like 15 years. And so it feels exciting to me because it's going to stir a lot of old memories, but at the same time, it's going to feel brand new.
And Alex, you mentioned that my dad, like, it's like a passing of the torch. What did you, like, my dad is kind of adorable.
Yeah. That was my favorite part was like, within a minute and a half of our conversation, you were like, hey, I like right when we get there, like kind of immediately, I think we should take a portrait, you know?
Yes.
And, yeah. Did he call it a portrait? Because that is such an old person way to say a picture.
Well, and the best part too is he like doubled down and he hammered it home and he goes, and when I say portrait, I mean portrait.
Okay.
Yes. Correct. If I would take an oil painting of us if I could, but so I don't have
like,
anybody.
What's the picture you long for? Is it like you handing the tongs over to Alex and I, like you and Chris, like maybe on a knee, like passing it up to us, like, or maybe you're passing the torch down, however you want to pass the torch.
Well, I definitely want
our torches passed.
I definitely want to torches are passed. Yeah.
Usually in like a marathon race, so it's like we're like running, and like I don't know why I had one of us kneeling. Sorry.
Well, that's a baton. That's a baton, not a torch.
Okay. Torches are not. You don't usually kneel for a torch either, though. So, anyways, no. I don't know. We're getting bogged down here.
Torches are passed in the Olympic torch relays. Yeah, once every 4 years. I was derailed there. I forgot what I was saying. Oh yeah,
That's really gone away, huh? The passing of the torch.
Now I think we're skipping over a really big point though here. So back in the day, you and my father, because we were down there multiple days, so you guys would have to sleep.
Right.
On the beach overnight.
Right.
Well, yeah, like because our families would all have hotel rooms. So the kids and women, it was like, you know, it was like in the 50s, the kids and women would all go to sleep and the men would stay and watch the belongings overnight. Correct.
There were many run-ins with people stealing stuff.
Yes.
Now, is there a little part of you that thinks
resents us?
Yeah. That like Chris and I, because me and Chris and I are not sleeping down there. We're setting up each day in the morning.
Right.
Not because we don't want to, but we think it's against the law nowadays, because we would definitely be.
Oh, sure you would.
We probably wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't.
So, are we still knocked down a couple pegs, or what do you think on that one?
Well, of course, there's never going to be the old days, because there's never going to be your dad, Alex, your dad, and me, you know, just commanding our domain off all intruders. And it was a romantic thing. It was a macho thing.
Whoa, baby.
And nobody will ever do it like that.
First of all, you are going to see two lions this weekend with Alex and I. You know, we are going to be circling our tents like lion protecting their young.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Or maybe lionesses protect. Don't lions eat the young? Whatever. We're going to be doing some, whatever we're going to be doing, we're going to be looking like lions.
Well, the key here is to set up a perimeter.
That was the thing I wanted to ask you. Do you have any tips for us? Like,
can I first, before I actually want to hear my dad's tips, but I want to make fun of him because he just mentioned him and your dad, Alex, sleeping on the beach and fending off bums. Dad, you were historically known for sneaking off and sleeping in the hotel room and leaving Chris down there alone. So let's not.
You're a one-nighter.
Okay. I think once or twice that happened. Okay.
He's like, and I was just so drunk that I accidentally stumbled into my room.
Yeah. And that was toward the end of this whole thing. And there were several reasons why this tradition ebbed and ended.
Wow.
And that was probably one of them.
Because Chris was like,
I mean, I'm 50 years old. I don't want to continue to sleep on the beach.
I don't know how you guys did it.
I know.
Alex and I are going to find a system where we don't have to sleep on the beach and we're still going to crush it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the breakdown that's going to be tough, like breaking everything down and carting everything off.
I mean, you're going to be bringing a cooler up to your room for sure. I mean, just so you know that.
Right. Okay.
Anyways, let's get to your tips. Give us tips that we need to know going into hosting and being the leaders of our first 4th of July beach weekend.
Okay. You got to reconnoiter. You got to figure out about how many people are going to be there.
That's just a word. Okay. Go ahead.
I love the word reconnoiter.
Okay.
Most people can't even spell it. We have four tents, right? Four 10 by 10s?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Four 10 by 10s.
Yeah, that's right. Those are your four corners. Four corners.
You're really bringing some groundbreaking stuff so far.
Okay.
We were going to have them in a T. We should have a fifth and make a T.
That's not a bad idea. You could also make them like a question mark.
So your first advice is put the four in to make a square. Thank you. Yes. All right, moving on.
Well, that's controversial.
Were you thinking straight line?
The one thing that I actually was like a little like, let's see how that goes, is the eating. Like, was there like, did we set ground rules of like, this is when lunch is and you guys only cooked, or were you guys just cooking the whole, like, should me and Chris be prepared to just be cooking all day, every day?
We're gonna have a charcoal grill, like, so should we just like say when the coals are on you can ask us for food, when they're not, kind of like, I feel like the coals are gonna be our guide,
right? How many grills are we gonna have?
Two grills,
two charcoal grills, and then I'm bringing my little flat top, little flatty daddy.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
That's propane, because so that one we can fire up at any point.
And one of your other pieces of advice was get a head count. We've done that. We know exactly, like, we've invited some people, but we know who's staying, and we know, like, we got a general head count.
Okay. And by the way, you were making fun of my four corners theory. That's actually controversial, because if you do the four corners with the tents, basically the centerpiece is left exposed to the sun. And then the people who want to sit in the shade are going to be a little ways away from each other.
Oh, wait. So you're saying when you say four corners, you're leaving like a center open. Okay. I literally had the four. I thought it was all right. So maybe this is beneficial. And I was mocking you. Yeah. And I'm glad now we're having this conversation. Yeah. Because I was thinking that, like, the four corners were going to be, like, together, and we were going to just have one big-looking 40 by 40 with no gap.
We could do that.
No, but I don't hate this little sun cove you've created in the center.
Right.
But who wants to be in the sun?
Yeah, not your mother, that's for sure.
There's going to be plenty of people, like, there's going to be plenty of room to be in the sun, clearly. Like, I thought we were just trying to create a haven of this 40 by 40 space is covered. What do you think, Alex? What were you envisioning? Me, like, what I said or what my dad said?
I was envisioning, I was maybe thinking like a straight line.
Oh, the straight line. Like, oh, wow. Okay. See, I love how I mocked my dad here and we had three different ideas.
Because I was thinking like spreading everybody out.
I don't hate that.
Okay.
The one my dad said seems like it's odd. Like, what were you thinking, more like what my dad, if we were going to do a square, was it more what my dad was thinking or mine? And you can say my dad's, don't feel bad.
No, I thought we were, they're all together.
I don't hate the straight line. Dad, this is one of those things though. You've been heard. Let the new kids on the block figure it out.
Hey, you guys are going to be the ones putting it up early, like, in the morning Sunday.
That's what I mean. Well, you'll show up and that's what we decided.
Damn right. And it'll be fine. You know, I'll sit my ass in the shade somewhere.
Alex, do we have rope, by the way, to tie them together? And just like, I'm having like a meeting. I'm thinking out loud. Like,
oh, we're doing. I got bungee cords for days, dude.
Yeah, bungee cords, ropes, whatever you need. I got ropes. I can bring ropes.
I love it. Look at the old man
now,
trying to contribute.
My other question was, and me and Chris kind of, What was the music situation when we were younger? I have no I love music. I have zero recollection of what did we have there?
I remember seeing years later in Dad in your music area a blank CD that said July 1994. You know, yeah. Did you make CDs back in that day? What was your way? Like me and Alex are imagining it's like the 40s. Like, how were you able to play music back then?
Okay. When we did the beach thing, we actually transitioned. We started off with the big boom boxes.
Right. That's what I kind of remember.
Battery operated, battery powered, giant ass boom boxes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then eventually we went to CD technology and that came in.
Well, the boom boxes had CDs. Oh, so you're saying it went from cassette tapes to CDs is what you're saying?
I believe so. Yeah.
So you guys, it was like the Bluetooth era. Yeah. We were not in the Bluetooth era yet at all.
Oh God, no. No, Spotify didn't exist.
All Alex and I are worried about is making sure we got charged Bluetooths.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Believe me, I'm
Dad, you bring out a charged Bluetooth. We need all the Bluetooths we can get.
Bluetooth? What are you talking about? What do you want me to bring? I mean, what do you mean when you say a charged Bluetooth?
How do you play music when you're at your house?
I play it on my iPhone, Spotify.
And what is that? What do you play it through sometimes when you connect them at your house?
I generally play it through that big thing. Let me see the name of it here.
Say it.
Hang on. I'm trying to think of it.
It's called a f-ing Bluetooth.
I'm not withholding evidence here, believe me.
Dad, all those speakers that you have that you connect to your phone are called Bluetooth. You're using Bluetooth to connect to those speakers.
Okay. Generally, what I use is a JBL Flip or a... Right.
But what are you using?
HK Onyx.
But what did you click on to see those options?
You can see them going on this phone.
My Bluetooth.
So when I said a Bluetooth, you were literally like, what's a Bluetooth?
No, I just didn't know what you meant, keep it charged.
We know. No, we know.
So essentially, you meant keep your iPhone charged, which of course I'm going to do.
No, I meant bring one of those speakers that you have.
Oh, yeah. No,
JBL,
I will for sure.
And charge them.
You're damn right I will.
It's my life.
But by the way, the youngins are not going to hijack the music. There's going to be like an hour where we're going to listen to my music. There's going to be
Dad,
an hour where
like
Chris might want to do that.
Every single time you've ever been around Alex and he's playing a playlist, you're always complimentary. Like, you know, you don't think Alex is going to have good music playing.
Oh, he'll bring it. I have no idea. No doubt.
Nobody's saying that you and Chris can't take a crack at the playlist for a little bit. But the fact
we need a little bit of the country in there. I mean, your dad, I've always said, has really good taste in music.
Yeah,
I appreciate
as much
that.
As
that means
like everyone likes to poke fun and this and that, when it does come to the music, he knows his stuff.
Right. Like on the Levitard show, he kind of gets painted in this corner. But like when it comes to music knowledge and stuff, for sure. It's,
yeah. If you want to sit down and talk like early Elton with him
you might be more competent with music. And this is just a compliment. Like you're obviously competent with sports, but you might be better at just being an encyclopedia of old music stuff than you are even sports, which you obviously are well equipped with.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because let's be honest here, probably 30 years ago, you're like, this is my job now, not as interested in sports, while music has always just kept your fire burnt more for music at this point, because it's not your job.
100%. That's 100% accurate.
If you worked in music, you'd be burnt out on music and you'd be like a huge sports fan right now.
Yeah.
No, I work. I'm with you. I'm literally smaller, less of a sports fan now because of the job that I do.
Right. I've always defined who knows me well and who doesn't by whether or not they want to start talking sports with me because of what I do for a living.
Right.
If you come up to me and you start automatically talking sports with me
about the Dolphins,
hey, how about those Dolphins?
Yeah.
You know, you don't know me very well. Yeah. You don't know me.
Yeah. You sound like Dan Lebatard, but yeah, you are right. That's true for you too.
Right. I invented that. Levitard got that for me.
Wow.
Yeah. So I invented that. So this thing, the reprisal of this, the idea that we're bringing it back after whatever, 15, 17 years.
Bringing it back, Jack.
What's the genesis of that? How and when did it begin?
You're looking at it.
That began at, I believe, Chris, we were grabbing a drink before bowling.
Yeah.
At Landlubbers?
Yeah.
I think we were at Landlubbers.
Wow. That's good.
Okay.
Which is even more hilarious because Landlubbers is a throwback to baseball days. But yeah, we were at Landlubbers and I don't know. We we were talking about it, and we were just we were like having nostalgic memories.
We had talked about it in the past about like someday we need to like, right. We knew that at some point we were going to do it. And then we just both had a moment of like, this year, huh? Like, is it time? And then like, we just kind of were like, it's time.
And I think the kids had a lot to do with it too. Like, you know, like Chris has a family. My sister has a family now with kids. Cause that's really like the biggest thing for Chris and I was like, we want to do a family thing. You know, we're not trying to throw like a keg party with like our friends. Right. We want to have like all the old crew back, have the kids running around and create those memories for them. Cause they were so amazing for us.
And for the audience, the story behind that is that when we were young, obviously like my kids are and like Ashley and Alex's sister's kids are, it was like all about family. But as we got older, more into high school, it got less fun for our parents because it became more about inviting our friends, having like drinking. And as we got into high school, what used to be this nice family tradition kind of turned into like, you know, fun parties. So
yeah,
that's like kind of the tension of it. And that's why we wanted to focus like, hey, mom and dad, this is not us bringing back a booze party with our friends. Right, this is us bringing back the family element of this. And like, we wanted to start there. Obviously we're going to invite some friends and we're going to be drinking and you know, but you know what I mean? Like the starting point is we want this to be a family tradition and not just a shit show.
All right. I just hope everybody has been told to BYOC, bring your own chair. Because if there's one thing Greg Cody hates, it's somebody sitting on his cooler.
I had to hammer it home to my brother. My brother called me yesterday and he's like, all right, what's the deal? And he's got one of those like e-bikes. And I was like, yeah, man, just like make sure you like, you know, bring your own booze and blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, it hit me. And I was like, he's on an e-bike. And I was like, wait, Ben, you got to bring a chair, too. And he was like, what? Really? And I was like, dude, unless you want to be like absolutely shunned, I was like, you better bring a chair,
please.
I mean, there's cool. Like, the women, like, and we've had the three of us have already had this conversation privately about how the women are trying to sabotage this with their, like, you know, just being, and I don't want to be like, but you know what? I'm already here. I don't want people to get mad at me, but some of the women involved in this have tried to bring stress into this situation because it's a lot of planning that's involved. So
no way it's going to happen. Not on my watch.
We're trying to keep this as a stress-free come all. So my thought is, hey, Ben, you can sit on, he can sit on my, just don't sit in my seat. Like he can sit on my cooler. If he doesn't bring a chair, he'll be fine. He can just sit on my cooler.
Okay.
But yeah, it's good to have a chair.
All right. Let me announce this to anybody who's listening and anybody who's listening who may be at the 4th of July Beach Bash.
I mean, we're already there once that Dad, this is a poor way to announce this because they're going to hear it Monday once that we've already like done 50% of the.
I have a brand new Igloo cooler with a Greg Cody Show decal on it.
No.
That's mine. That's my cooler.
Wow. What?
No, that's right. So no ass is on that cooler except my ass. Okay.
Wait, so that's your chair?
No, I'm bringing a chair as well.
Well, I honestly, now we're on, I think we should do a quick PSA because clearly this is a thing for the people out there. If you are going to the beach, you bring a chair, okay?
Yes. Like, well, or just,
you bring a towel, just, you bring a chair, and some sunscreen. That's what, if you are going to the beach, those are the three things you always bring.
Correct.
I live by that motto, but I'm okay. If somebody's a sunbather and they bring a towel and they're going to lay the whole time, it's okay. We're not pressuring you into bringing a chair. Just don't sit in my chair.
Right.
In my chair.
Yes.
That was a little Chris D'Elia I worked in there.
I have no idea who that is.
All right, I have no idea who that is.
Look at you, the cool stare, the confident air, the Whittingham hair, and all because you dared to dream big. That's right, you put a Lobo's Mint under your pillow and the magic ensued, Daddy-O. How can I tell?
He'll tell you.
The way you own the room in a way that can't be bought. You walked in like you were walking onto a yacht. Your hair strategically dipped below one eye. Your ascot was apricot. Wait. What?
What?
That's right. The Lobo's Mint has raised the station of many a man and elevated the elegance of women across the land. And all they had to do was put a Lobo's Mint under their pillow and dream. Note, consumer reports found Lobos mints were more effective against halitosis when ingested rather than left under a pillow. Lobos mints do not guarantee success in fantasy football or a top 10 ranking among national sports columnists, and Lobos mints are not a drug or aphrodisiac.
Okay.
They'll freshen your breath,
freshen
your smile, your very outlook on life. It's your first taste of a dream come true. Lobos mints.
All right, Dad, we're getting late in this episode, so now it's when you put the good stuff in your episode, the very end.
I want to hear
that's
this
a
Greg
lie.
Moore. Are we doing Greg Moore now? I want to.
Yeah. It's where you bury
we do this live.
I was lying. It's where you bury bad stuff. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen.
Hang on.
It's Mount Greg Moore.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. This pod's sporadic feature, Mount Greg Moore, it's back with a nod to the 4th of July.
It's called Greg Cody Reads.
As we name our greatest athletes ever to wear uniform number 4. But Greg Moore goes Mount Rushmore one better.
Wait, this is...
So instead of 4, we give you 5.
Wait.
We give you 5.
So this is your...
an honorable mention.
What? Wait, so this is a top 6 number 4s.
It sometimes there's more than one honorable mention. It's Mount Greg Moore is what it is.
So it's a top 10. All right, here we go.
First, honorable mention. Early NBA star Dolph Schayes and past Greg Cody Show guests and Fort Lauderdale Strikers soccer legend Rocky Ray Hudson. Both wore number 4.
Dad, if you just go on Google and type in number 4s and you're writing names down just that you don't even know, you don't have to put them on the list. I know
who Dolph Schayes is. Okay. Do you?
No.
Okay. Well, you should. Educate yourself. Number 5.
I want to punch you right in the Dolph Schayes.
Center fielder for the Brooklyn-turned-LA Dodgers from the late 40s into the 60s.
This is the worst.
Hitter of 407 home runs. Hall of Famer. Of course, the Duke himself, Duke Snyder.
Ooh, I like that one.
No, you don't. You don't have to do that. It's fine.
Yeah, thank you. Number 4. First NFL quarterback to reach 70,000 passing yards, 6,000 completions, and 500 TDs. Hall of Famer. Played from 91 to 2010, mostly with Green Bay.
Give him
won a Super Bowl. A bit of a loony bird off the field, but a gunslinger on it. Brett Favre.
Yes.
How about that?
I like that.
Number 3.
I'm a cheesehead, so you know I like that one.
God damn, you're right. So lucky Alex is here, because I'd be crushing this.
Christopher is literally sneering with disdain.
I mean, I just like, I wonder if you do these at this point to annoy me, or whether when you're writing these, you're like, this is really interesting and good. I can't wait to share this.
Number 3. His entire name required only 6 letters, but he was even better known as a right fielder for the New York Baseball Giants from 1926 to 47, a Hall of Famer who managed to hit 511 home runs, died at age 49 from injuries sustained in a car wreck. Mel Ott.
Wow.
I mean,
Mel Ott.
Wow.
Damn right. Number 2.
You've said like 14 names and I've heard of one of them.
As the excitement builds, Roy Bellamy would like our number 2 pick. Okay? This dude played only 12 seasons, mostly with the Boston Bruins into the 70s, but revolutionized the position of defenseman in hockey. The first defenseman to win a scoring title, playing D, and he won 2 of those. Also an 8-time D-boy and 3-time league MVP, the great Bobby Orr.
Ooh. I felt you falling asleep while reading that.
You don't know who Bobby Orr is?
I do, of course.
Of course, he does.
He's, I know these playing names. This is doing nothing for me.
And now to the Greg Moore Summit with the number 1 4 of all time. He became associated, unfortunately, with a debilitating disease named for him. But before that, he was a .340 career hitter with 493 homers in a storied career with the Yankees into the late 40s, played in 2,130 consecutive games. The Iron Horse and utterer of the most famous words ever said in a sports retirement speech, "I am the luckiest man on the face of the earth," he said as he fought the disease that would take his life less than 2 years later. Lou Gehrig.
Excellent.
There's another award-winning Mount Greg Moore to mark the 4 of July.
It's back. It's never won an award. It's never won an award.
I like that because it had a lot of baseball players in there.
Yeah, well, 4. And
you forgot about four, you forgot about
any of those up though, for real.
Of course he did.
Let me. No, I knew Bobby Orr, Brett Favre, and Gehrig were number four. I wasn't sure about the other two.
Okay.
You sure you missed, you forgot one in honorable mention, the Cheetah Sharks number four, Emma O'Ryan.
Oh, you know, I did forget her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell of a player. Hell of a player.
From my daughter's soccer team.
Yeah. Still trying to learn the concept that kicking the ball is a good thing, not something to be avoided in
soccer.
They all
are.
By the way, somebody who wears number four and has been very successful but will never, ever make a Mount Gregmore, Deshaun Watson. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go.
See, now that would be more interesting is like the top four most despicable number fours.
Brett Favre might make that list too, no?
Yeah,
yeah, Favre might actually, but Deshaun would have. Deshaun might have been.
But why
one.
Make the most interesting possible list, right? When we could do that, anyways. Exactly. All right, so fun episode.
Yeah, and but there's one thing left.
What?
The Father Son Olympics.
Oh yeah, shit.
Oh my.
Cornhole. Right.
The way that your father is leaning into the microphone, I'm getting scared for you, Chris. Yeah. Did you lose?
He does this in every event where he like builds it up like he's got some kind of chance.
Did you lose?
Let's find out.
Cornhole.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it.
Baby.
Baby.
The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody presents the Cody Family Olympics, brought to you by The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. Father versus son, old versus young, not athletic versus someone who just a few years ago turned out to be more athletic than any listener had previously imagined. 5 weeks, 10 events, a house divided. Who will reign victorious? The Cody Family Olympics, brought to you by The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
The Greg Cody Show Father-Son Olympics continues. People thought it was dead.
It ain't.
It is not dead. We are, what event is this? What's the score? Update the people.
This is our eighth event.
Out of 10.
Yeah, you lead 6-1. I'm not proud to say it, but you had to ask. This is event number 8 of 10, cornhole.
A one that my dad just like added in without really checking with anyone.
Right. I did that unilaterally.
He claims that we're eliminating the swimming competition, but I think that that's too much of a payoff for the audience that we should not cancel that one. Maybe we cancel ping pong. Maybe we do 11 events. I don't feel that strongly like about it. I don't want you to think I'm trying to pull a fast one.
I do think that.
But I just think that is beneficial for the audience. I think it's a good bit. Like the kind of like you thought that us grocery shopping would be bad. It turned out to be a good bit. You need to trust me on this. We need to do the swimming thing.
Okay, let's move forward. We'll decide moving forward whether it's 10 events or 11. For now, it's cornhole. It's really one of the few events where you both you and I think we're better than the other.
Right. You've played four times in your entire life, so you think you're some kind of expert. I've played dozens and dozens of cornhole games. I'm a guy at a party that people are always like, Chris, will you play with me? Because I'm good at this game.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. And you don't even know the rules.
I clearly know the rules. Are we playing to 21? Are we doing best of three games? Or are we just doing one game to 21?
Let's do best of three games.
Best of three games. Okay.
Okay. One on the board, three in the hole. That's the scoring system.
Thank you, Dad. Okay. And then they cancel each other out type scoring?
I don't know what that means.
That means, like, if we both get one in the hole, we don't both get 3 points. We can't, like, that cancels out.
Oh, I didn't know that. So it makes for a longer game.
Are you kidding me?
It makes for a longer game.
You really don't know the rules?
I thought I did.
If we each throw, it's like the advantage, like, we each throw four bags.
Bagging it.
You're fresh. You're annoying the shit out of me because you literally don't know how to play cornhole.
I thought I did. Normally, I'm not the leader of cornhole. I'm just a passenger.
God, you are just, you never cease to amaze.
All right, let's play.
God, you're annoying. All right, confident Greg Cody is down 1-0.
All right, what was the final score?
The final score was 21-16. Okay. I was up early. My dad made a comeback. He ended up getting to 20-19, and then he got too many points, so he had to go back to 16. The old classic, if you get past 21, you go to 16. Now, I will say, that was obviously a competitive game. I was very confident going in. You're decent, but your form is terrible. The way you throw it is terrible. Like, if there was somebody here scouting cornhole, you admit I would be the bigger prospect.
I admit you have the more orthodox throwing motion. That's right. All I'm admitting.
We're both righties. I step forward with my left foot and toss like a normal person would. You put your right foot forward, correct, even though you're a righty.
Yeah.
You throw it. I throw it like a frisbee, like the way you see most cornhole people. Yeah. You throw it so
end,
it like
torpedo. Yeah.
You throw end over end like a torpedo.
Correct. That's the way to go. Two comments. Number one, I can't believe I'm sweating bullets from playing one game of cornhole.
Well, it is hot out here.
And number two, that I'm not saying this is why I lost, but that's a bullshit rule where if you get over 21, you got to go back to 16.
So you think if you're at 20, you should just be able to shoot like crazy? Don't,
yeah.
You don't like the fact that it's like an artful game? Like, okay, I need 2 points here to win. I need to get only two. Like, I mean, I think that makes the game more skillful.
It penalizes the first one to 21. It's...
It makes the game more, like, difficult. It's all like... Right. Oh,
okay, we got two games left.
Well, no, one game left.
Yeah, two.
Yeah, okay. Right. That kind of thing.
That kind of
thing. Classic Greg Cody tantrum he just threw. We just discussed how it was 21-16, and he clearly went back to 16 because of that whole controversy, so it's pretty memorable, right? If we think back on that first game, we're going to remember 21-16, I won, but my dad insists on going inside, getting a pen and a pad, and writing down the score in case we forget. It's one of Greg Cody's, a very anal man. He's very capable of like making a big deal out of something very little. So it was painfully obvious that the score was 21-16 and, you know, wouldn't be forgetted, but he had to storm off with his chin protruded, with his chin.
You could have noted it in your phone and you refused, so I walked in and wrote it down.
It's because first of all we need to know is that I won the first game. Doesn't matter the score.
It does, because I'm keeping track of everything. That kind of thing.
So annoying. All right, Greg Cody wins game two.
Yes.
This is a close game. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm no cornhole professional. We've played two close games. I still think I'm just hands down better than you at it, but that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
We're having fun. You're going down game three.
All right, well, let's see about that.
We're both exhausted. We both need water after two games of cornhole.
In fact, let's take a quick water break right now. Plus, we'll bring Charlie the puppy in so he doesn't dehydrate.
It's just a fact that nobody needed to know. No one knew he was even out here.
Yeah, we don't want to be alleged animal cruelty people because...
We weren't until you mentioned it.
Yeah, our puppy's in the hot sun baking.
No, he's not. First of all, he's clear. He couldn't be more in the shade. True. We tried to let him in and he wanted to stay out here.
Right. He's made in the shade just like Greg Cody in cornhole.
That doesn't make sense. That kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
Ah, my f***ing Lord. I think we had our closest battle yet.
Wow.
I lost. I was up 18-9 early in that third game. After winning the first game, I blew the second one.
You were also up 8-0 in that game.
I was up 8-0 and then 18-9, and then he came back. And we played forever at like 20-20. I had multiple times where all I needed with my last beanbag was to just get it on the board, and I win. Twice, I believe I missed that. Yeah, you win fair and square. It's pretty sad that late in this third game we both seem to be getting tired.
Yes.
So the bags weren't flying as far as, but you won. I'm not like the golf. I remember the only other one you won was technically what was your actual victory?
Bowling, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, bowling
because of the handicap. And this time there's no handicap.
Right. This is Greg's first genuine victory.
It's
where there's no handicap.
Right, there's no handicap.
You did win bowling with the handicap, but yes. Okay, so, all right. I mean, yeah. I'm demoralized. That took way too long. It took us like over an hour to play three games.
This was a truly, legitimately exciting best of three we just played. All three games were close. And let me tell you what gives me the most satisfaction is that you automatically thought you were so much better than me, and then you were making fun of my throwing style. All of that stuff. And so, yes, I am grinning like a Cheshire cat.
when my dad...
Briar-eating mules. I mean, a mule-eating briars.
Briar-eating mules.
That's right.
That'd be weird. He fell to his knees, arms in the air, like a boxing champion when he won.
I did. This was truly... You know, you don't think of cornhole as an athletic competition, but I'm sweating like a pig right now.
All right, winner picks up.
Let's make it a combo platter on that one.
That kind of thing?
That kind of thing.
All right. God damn it. So what is it? 8-2 now? 7-2? 7-2 through 9 events. That kind of thing.
No. 6-2. Because we got two left.
Six, that's what I said. So
6-2 with two left.
6-2 through 8 events, 2 or 3 left, TBD, that kind of thing. Greg Cody wins.
Oh, 2-6. What?
Oh, yeah.
God damn it.
Are you serious? What?
Look, I blew it. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Throwing the bag with just his two pinching hands.
You're damn right I did.
The corner. What? Yeah.
With his terrible technique, he beat me. I had a big lead in the second game. And you just heard it, like, but it was just, yes, what? I blew it.
Did he lock in, or did you?
It was a combination of him doing well and me choking. But I do have a couple, like, you know, it was his backyard. It was his set, his beans. He had the side that was less obstructed by his tree.
Oh, please.
If we're being honest. But, you know, come he on. Won fair and square.
Fair and square, you said, after citing all the advantages I supposedly had.
Those are just facts that I said, actually.
Listen, this may have been my greatest athletic accomplishment since I hit that grand slam.
No.
Adler's Drugs back in 1967.
No, Dad. That is not your greatest accomplishment. Your greatest accomplishment was the soccer save that you made at Graceland's game a couple days ago. Alex, thank you. Me and my dad are there early, like 15 minutes before people are like, we got there a little early, and my daughter's to the side drinking water after she was practicing goalie. So it's me and my dad on the pitch, and my dad used to be a goalie, like a club for FAU. What I used to think he was the backup goalie for FAU soccer growing up. Over time, as I got older and smarter, I quickly learned that he was a club goalie at FAU.
I'll still give it to him.
It's still, anyway, and he still knows the sport. Like, he can coach the position. He knows the techniques. So and it's 6 and under soccer. So the goal is small, granted.
Oh, I love the small goal.
It's a small goal. But my dad's in there, and I'm like at the 18-yard box. I can bend. I got a good little soccer kick. Like, I can bend it a little bit. And I hit a good kick that is headed towards the upper left corner of, or no, it's my dad's left. I'm kicking it to the right.
Yeah.
The upper right corner, the ball's curving, it's perfect, and my dad leaves his feet and, like, makes, like, not a full extension dive, but just a textbook-looking fall to his knees, bang the ball away. Like, the way a real goalie would look, my 60-something-year-old dad.
Thank you.
Like, it was, honestly, I was worried he got hurt, but once he didn't get hurt, it had some random parent that was early.
That's like, muscle memory, like, kids. That's muscle memory.
It is.
It got a standing ovation from a random guy watching.
You know what? The body won't let me anymore, but the mind knows how to play goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I could probably teach goalkeeping, maybe not into the high school level, but certainly into the youth level.
No, Dad, you could teach it in the high school level. I know the goalie. Yeah,
I know how to play the position.
But it was more impressive than anything you did on the cornhole felt.
So, yeah, stop deflecting. Back to cornhole.
Yeah, the cornhole was an Olympic victory. It was an Olympic victory.
I got my ass kicked. That's it.
Yeah, you did. All right, it's time to start partying because it's the 4th of July coming up.
Well, it's actually today. It's actually today.
It's today when you're listening. We're going to be on the beach.
Greg Cody's hammered right now.
As they're listening?
I just want you to know that. It doesn't matter what time it is.
Wait a minute. What if they're listening when it comes out at 7 a.m.?
No, if most people probably start listening around 9 a.m. right now, drink in hand. Hey, if you're listening at 3 p.m., buzzed. Hey, if you're listening to this after 4 p.m., blacked out.
I don't know about that. Come on.
Can you get blacked out on Miller Lights? You can't really get blacked out on Miller Lights.
No, believe me, I'm going to be minding my P's and Q's. Believe me, I don't know what that means.
But Alex, thank you for joining us. We're going to be out there with him. Alex, check out the Shut the Funk Up podcast.
Yes.
It's a good hang. Jaylit the kid, the well-fed boy, Mike the producer, they're doing their damn thing.
We actually, on this week's episode, I actually tell a pretty cringeworthy story about you, Chris.
Damn it.
Yeah, I kind of outed you a little bit this week. So go listen to this week's episode and listen to a pretty embarrassing story about Chris that he did something that he was about to do.
It involves airport etiquette. That's all I'm going to say. And I just, God damn it, let me live my life and just ask questions, okay? I'm not a perfect human.
Okay. And as a dismount, I want you all to remember to visit our new Greg Cody Show website.
Yes.
And click on shop for the merch store. We got a lot of great shirts and T-shirts and caps and all that stuff. Also,
and thongs.
And I didn't even know this until I saw the show tweeted it out. Apparently, we have a new Greg Cody Show YouTube channel. How about that?
I love how you didn't know that.
I didn't know it until I saw it advertised on Twitter.
You can wait. We can watch it now?
Not the whole show. No. I love how my dad's promoting something. He has no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, nobody tells me anything.
No, it's just, I think enough.
Okay.
Good job, Dad.
Hey, that kind of thing. Okay. Second thing. Hey, thanks everybody. Happy 4th of July, and we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Admit it, Dad. How drunk will you be at 4 p.m.?
On a scale of 1 to 10, 11 and a half.